If you like, you could turn to Matthew chapter 7. We'll get there in a few minutes. I mentioned that this week I was moved to watch a lot of TV with the news. I don't understand how people can do what they do, but I know that we all reach sometimes a point of desperation. I can't explain I don't mean to be derogatory. You can't brand all policemen with the brand of a man who shoots a man on the ground. No gun. You can't brand an entire law enforcement from things like that. But I guess I was just so taken back and consumed. My wife said she didn't sleep much one night. That's because the news was on all night. I was listening to the situation in Dallas. Just beyond my comprehension. But again, people got to desperation. But we know that. But I asked myself, what would I say to people? What would I say to Christians to cope with things like that? And the song that comes to my heart, though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, deep down I'm peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep, angry clouds overshade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. You know, your life is built on something, isn't it? Your life is built upon some philosophy. Hopefully it's built upon a person, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, of the importance of having a foundation that's solid. A foundation that doesn't move, with the events of this world. Now, before I get to this text, I want to ask you to turn to the text of Timothy, and I don't even know that I didn't write it down, but it's in 1 Timothy, I believe, chapter 4. In 1 Timothy, it talks about the end times. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by putting, that's not the text I'm looking for. Let me try 2 Timothy chapter 3. of 2 Timothy. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. And that word, the King James, perilous times will come. And it's the idea of pressure. There's going to be so much pressure put upon mankind. Pressure. Do you feel the pressure? The pressure of your job situation, the pressure of family, the pressure of finances, the pressure of demonic forces in our society that's growing wild today. Pressure. There's difficult times. There are pressuresome times upon mankind. And Paul says that in the last days there will come these pressuresome times, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. But I think we live in terrible times right now. I've said this many times. I have never seen such chaos. Not only in our country, but in society. In the world, rather. Globally. So much upheaval. So much evil going on. And that's what drove me to this text again this morning in Matthew chapter 7. Years ago in Dallas, Texas, a Christian businessman who was in the business of construction, it was back when the housing, the suburbs were springing up everywhere. They were building everywhere. And this Christian businessman had an ethic that he would not build a house for anybody without a strong foundation, without sturdy walls, insulation in walls and ceilings, and that he was determined in a good roof. However, as you well know, if you go to the suburbs of these cities, there were other people in construction who didn't care about quality. All they cared about was putting up a house as quick as they could and making it as cheap as they could. And so what happened is this Christian businessman could not stay in business because the young couples that were buying the houses didn't care about quality. These cheaper companies were putting up a pretty face on the house, but they didn't have the foundation, they didn't have the good roof, and they didn't have the insulation in Dallas, Texas. Now the point is, Jesus is going to talk about building a house. And he's saying that you all have a house. You're a house. And he's saying that you have a foundation upon which you build your house. And that foundation makes all the difference in the world. Some people build on rock, and some people build on sand. Now, these young couples, they wanted these houses because they looked pretty, but they didn't have the quality. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They didn't have the quality. They were cheaper, and they only planned to live in them a couple years. They turned over houses very quickly. That guy, by the way, left construction of residential houses and went to building bigger buildings for companies because they wanted quality. But a pastor was telling this story, and he said 10 years later, this pastor went back to Dallas, and he drove by that housing development where his friend was trying to build houses and couldn't do it. And it looked like a slum. 10 years later, looked like a slum. The houses were all run down. Sure, they looked pretty when they first were built, but they were built with cheap stuff and without a quality foundation. His point was that when we don't pay attention to what's hidden, the end result will be tragic. When we don't pay attention to what's hidden. You see, we all have a life, and we all are building on a foundation. And we need to pay attention to how we build. And we need to pay attention to the foundation, because the foundation is most important to have in this world. Jesus, in all probability, worked with his human father, Joseph. We know he wasn't his father, but his human father, Joseph. And Joseph was what? He was a carpenter. Jesus is preaching a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5, 6, and then he concludes it in this verses we'll read today in chapter 7. But Jesus knew how important construction was and how the danger of cutting corners to lessen the cost. Therefore, at the end of his sermon, he gave an illustration to bring what he had said in all of chapter 5 and 6, and I thought about, I really need to teach the whole Sermon on the Mount before I get to these verses, but I can't do that, so therefore, we'll maybe do it another day. But I want to draw us to the point, at the end of his sermon, he gave the point, the people must change their entire perspective. People must change their entire perspective about God and true religion. That the righteousness of the teachers of his day, the Pharisees, was based on keeping external rules and regulations contained in their interpretations of the Mosaic law and the traditions of their fathers. It left its followers with an external, shallow, and performance-driven faith. External and shallow, in a performance-driven state, faith. Jesus taught in his sermon that true righteousness begins in the heart of each of us. True righteousness begins in our hearts with a relationship of faith. Faith in the living person, faith in Jesus. He is alive. He is with us always. But a living relationship of faith with him. And that is the foundation upon which to build your life. Your relationship of faith with him, not in externals. They were to build or center their lives upon him and his teachings. This truth of building their lives on the lordship of Jesus and obeying his teachings would sustain them and guide them throughout the storms of life. And by the way, the storms of life. This whole society is pressured by the storms of life. And he's saying that if you'll have this foundation, it will sustain and guide you through the storms of this life, and that they would remain strong in soul until the day that they met Christ face to face. The closing illustration of this sermon, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fail or fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the tornadoes came, and the earthquakes came, and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. One man built on the foundation of a rock, Jesus Christ and his teachings. The other man built on the sands of this world. And you say to me that it's a no-brainer today to build on a foundation of rock, right? Well, back then it wasn't. In fact, many houses were built in ideal places where you couldn't dig down to rock. It was sand in a lot of places, and it was very costly to dig down to rock. It was easier just to build the house on the sand, even though it was so unstable. You say to me, but it's stupid. It's stupid, right? But even in the U.S. today, people build large houses upon scenery rather than stability. On the West Coast, people build their houses on known earthquake vaults. Others build on cliffs overlooking the Pacific Ocean. They have a marvelous view of the sunset, but when a storm comes and eats away the ground underneath that house, some of those lavish homes do what? Slide down the hill into the Pacific. Say, why are those people so stupid to build there? Others build houses on hillsides of Los Angeles, only to see the rains come and to see their life, their house, wash down the hill. I mean, we see it all the time, don't we? Why are people so foolish to build on such unstable foundations? But Jesus says that the tests here, that the tests of storms reveal the difference. You see, it's when storms come, when pressures come upon our marriage, when pressures come upon our finances, when pressures come, the storms come, and sometimes they blow their wildest wind, O gale, upon your life. And sometimes you would say, I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. You know what I'm talking about? It's easier to run than to stay. You see, the reality is storms test and reveal the difference between the houses that appear identical, the pounding rain, the extreme winds of life's tests reveal the strength of what we have built. I have a picture I'd like to pull up. Noah, if you'd pull up that picture. Stanford University, when it was founded, a man by the name of Leland Stanford gave a lot of money, and they built this Roman Victory Arch in memory of him. And it really was a magnificent piece of architecture, and that was until the earthquake of 1906. If you hit the next slide. This is what happened to that same arch. You see, what happened is this man built this arch on rubble. Construction rubble. He didn't dig down and get a solid foundation. He built it on rubble, construction rubble fill. And what looks so good and what looks like it would last forever came crumbling down because of the weakness of its foundation. Now, this builder had tried to save some money, and instead of digging down deep into the rock, he built a grand arch on construction fill. The earthquake revealed the builder's foolish judgment. But Jesus wasn't talking about construction of a building of literal houses. He was driving home the major point on how to build a life. How to build your life. That lasts and endures in this world through all the struggles and lasts for eternity when we stand before Jesus Christ. How to build such a life. See, Jesus could have chosen one of many metaphors to illustrate our lives, but he chose the metaphor of building. Our lives resemble a house, Your life resembles a house. And how everyone is building a house of some sort. But our lives are not made of brick and mortar, wood and nails. All of our lives have a foundation. Your life upon which you build has a foundation, something on which we build our lives, and that foundation is either rock or sand. What are you building your life upon? Some people build their lives on the sand of possessions. Really, you know it's true. We build our lives on the sand of possessions. How much we can own. How much is our net worth? When in reality, much of it's all built on credit. And I've told this story before, but years ago, I little comic picture. And the three little pigs in their house was made of credit cards. Right? And the wolf standing there, boy, it won't take much to blow this house down. That's true. But many people build their lives on money, possessions. And some other people build their lives on their passion. They follow their desire for earthly satisfaction, seeking to end their heart, thinking they could seek an end to their heart's desires. They build their lives on their passionate for something. Another person builds their lives on position. I think this is huge today. I think Hillary Clinton is a prime example, and maybe Donald Trump, who builds their life on their position in life. They want a higher position. You know, we build our lives. We go to college. We achieve our degrees, all because we want a position in life. Do you ever think about this? Jesus never had the education of all those religious other people in his days. He never had an education like that. And yet, as they said of him, we've never heard any man teach like this man teaches. Jesus. But they build their lives on position. The university they herald, the degrees they've attained, the job position, and offices they hold. And I don't mean to be critical, because the reality is that's somewhat where we all live, isn't it? I mean, I'll be reality, but are you building your life and your purpose upon that? Or are you building your life upon Jesus and a relationship with Jesus Christ? And then lastly, some people build for eternity. They're not building for this world. They're not focused on building for this world. They're focused on laying up a foundation in heaven. That's what Jesus said. I'm laying up my treasures in heaven. I'm laying up my life. I'm laying up my whole passion. I'm laying up my passion. I'm laying up my possessions. I'm laying up my position in Christ, not on the sands of this world. That's what Jesus is trying to draw the point home of this final illustration in his sermon. And our lives resemble that house. All of us are building a life according to some plan, some design. We don't build at random, although I think sometimes we just live at random. But we're not to live at random. We all have a worldview. We all have a philosophy, a foundation on which the building blocks of our lives rest upon. Jesus then says, all of us will have that foundation tested. Every one of us will have our purpose of life, our foundation of life, tested by storms. Storms are what reveal the true character of our lives. Storms. When things are sunshine and rosy, anybody can live then, but to live through the storms of life. And to live successfully and to live in peace and joy. that only Jesus can give us. It is the storms of life that reveal the strength of our foundation. Sometimes the storm breaks upon us with the fury of great temptation. A man works at a financial institute, and he has debts that he cannot pay. What's he going to do? He has access to his company's funds, and he's tempted to borrow some. Oh, he'll repay it. He has no intention of stealing the money. He'll repay it down the road. How many people in the news constantly are revealed in that dilemma? Really? People steal money from fire companies. They steal money from so many places because they're in debt. Great temptation. Another man is strongly tempted to throw away his marriage, his family, and his reputation because he has been romantically overcome by a young woman that he knows at work. Tempted to throw away his marriage. Tempted to throw away his reputation. Do you know what we're talking about here? The storms that come upon us. The great temptations. But what about the storm of crushing personal loss? You may lose a job that not only provides you income, but also provides you self-esteem and personal security. Let me tell you something. There are people in this church who have experienced crushing personal loss in the loss of a job. And they lost more than just money. When the storms blow on your bark of your boat, of your home, will you stand? Another man has a carefully built stock portfolio. Suddenly, a tornado-like wind blows through and it's gone. The comfortable life that you had built for yourself is not the same. When we realize that we haven't built up the security that we have counted on, and everything in our life comes tumbling down, we see the exposed fault in our foundation of life. And it's not just the stock market crash of 29 that people blew their brains out from. People kill themselves all the time over financial loss, crushing personal losses. What we are exposed to by the storms of personal loss. Sometimes a storm roars in. Think of a man that I know very well. When we're faced with the reality of our mortality, the storm of sickness, the storm of cancer, and suddenly we're faced with the reality we're going to die. That's scary. Let me tell you something. That's scary to many, 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 many people. That you are mortal, and one day you're going to die. Or if a good friend of yours drops over dead, and you realize yourself, you're headed the same place. And I'm telling you, it can take a person into paralyzation. They just are mentally paralyzed with fear of what could happen to them. When these storms hit us, do you understand what Jesus is saying? When these storms hit you and your house is built on sand, it washes it away. And the judgment is another storm that's coming. The judgment of Christ is coming for all of us in this room maybe the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, where believers stand before him, and we'll be exposed for what our house was built on. What was our house built on? And those who don't have Christ will be blown away with the judgment. Sickness, pain, and the prospect of death can come between you and the leisurely retirement you anticipated. You begin to question the strength of life you've built. As I said, I know a man who's very worldly, wise, successful. He's in his 80s, and he's scared to death. And he goes to church. He goes to a church, but he doesn't have Christ, to my knowledge. And if he does, it's very shallow. There's no strength, there's no solidity of a relationship with Jesus Christ that gives you hope, that gives you faith, that gives you victory to overcome the storms of life. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he died on the cross for your sins and he arose again, and accepting belief in him as your Lord and your Savior is the initial point of entering into a relationship that brings you strength. And the teachings of Christ, if you build your life on Jesus Christ's person, his lordship in your life, and obeying his teachings, you'll build your house on the rock. But there's one more thing, that foundation that's tested, and it's one that we all, maybe many of us have had, and that is the test of prosperity. Prosperity can deceive us and lull us into building on sand, wanting things, wanting more things. Prosperity, though it is something that we all seek after, it can numb us to our need of Jesus Christ in our life. And I think that America has a big struggle with that test of prosperity. At first, we welcome it, but sometimes, without realizing it, we become enamored with the things it brings, not realizing its destructive force is more damaging than any hurricane. More men and women have been knocked off their spiritual foundation by prosperity than great reversal. And I mentioned the fact that there's coming a testing storm for all of us. It's as certain as the fact of life and death, and that is the judgment seat of Christ. And his eyes will test us to see what our hearts have in them. Some of us here today will stand, and others of us will fall. Jesus said that those who hear his words and practice them build wisely. But those who hear his words and don't practice them build foolishly. Many religious people have deceived themselves into believing that knowing the Bible is the same as obeying it, that assenting to the doctrines of Christ is the same as practicing them. Jesus said, not so. To hear the word, of course, is essential, but to do it is wisdom that changes our eternal destiny. We must understand our desperate need of God, our desperate need of being in his kingdom and his righteousness. We must understand that we are far from God. We are far from God, far from God. We are farther from God in our sinful state without Christ. We are farther from God than Donald Trump is from Hillary Clinton. A million times farther. A million times farther apart. Man is so far apart from God in our sin, And we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. We need Jesus Christ to forgive us. We need Jesus Christ to build our life upon and to bring our lives into purpose and fulfillment. We need Jesus Christ, and that's what he's saying here. But it's not enough to need Jesus Christ. We must take the steps to go to him and follow him, to build our lives on his teachings, to build our lives on his lordship, to build our lives upon the truths that I loved in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And I will teach that. I have taught that. And it's a great sermon. But we need to see we're far from God, and we need Jesus Christ, who is God's provision of salvation, the salvation of grace that brings us into a life of truth and love. A life of truth and love. Jesus concludes his Sermon on the Mount message on a severe note. Please hear this. We all like sermons to end happy, don't we? We all like sermons that have a good ending and leave us feeling good about ourselves. But Jesus didn't leave his sermon that way. He left his sermon at the end with the realization, as he said in the sermon, there are two roads. One that's broad that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it, and one that's narrow but leads to life eternal. And few are on it. Two roads. There's two doors. One that opens to heaven, and one that opens to hellfire forever. Jesus issued a storm warning at the end of his sermon. Jesus had a lot to say about judgment and hell. In this sermon, he mentions two doors. Think about taking two paths. Think about that illustration of two paths. I come to a road. There's two paths. One is narrow. I have to stoop down and I have to accept Jesus Christ. And the other is, woo-hoo! Ain't it great? Let's go, let's go. Let's have fun. Let's go vacation, let's go to the beach, let's go to the ocean, let's go here, let's go there, let's buy a boat, let's go everywhere. Now, you can do those things. I went to the beach, you know that, last week. The worst part about it is it was so windy, the waves were so high, I couldn't go out into the ocean fishing. That's true. I didn't even get to go fishing. Life. But I'm talking about without God fun. A sense of throwing off, when we were young, throwing off the restraints and the partying. The pleasures. Weekends are made for Michelob. Living for football. You know, there's a lot of people who live for weekends for football, don't they? Seriously. But seriously, I'm sorry I don't have a better description of that, but the road is full of people, and they're just going along, and everything's fine. And then there's this narrow road where there's a cross, and you got to pick up a cross and die to yourself to get into that road. Which you're going to choose? Much easier to build on sand than to dig down and lay a foundation. It's much easier. But the end is the most important. Are you building your life on your relationship with Jesus Christ? Seriously. That's what it comes down to. Are you building your life? You want to turn things and see meaning and purpose, even in the tragedies, even in the storms, even when you're tempted. But you say, I can't do this, sin against God. Are you building your life upon your relationship with Jesus Christ that will give you a foundation that will stand the tests of storms of life and will lead you to eternal life with Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? And are you following Him, His teachings? Let's pray. Lord, we know that we live in a world that is sinking sand. We live in a world where the people all around us are living for their careers, their possessions, their positions. They're living for the moment of pleasure. Help us to live for eternity, to live for your kingdom first and your righteousness first, to seek it first, knowing that all the things and cares of this world will be added to us from you. Oh, help us to have a heart that seeks your righteousness, your kingdom. Help us to have a heart that loves the poor, that seeks to minister to the brokenhearted people of society, to care about the person who the storms of life have taken away their breath, their soul. And I just pray, Lord, that we would give them the good news of salvation, the good news of life with you, Jesus. And Lord, we know you don't exempt us as Christians, your children, from storms. You send the same storms into our life that hit us, that grip us by the throat. But we're thankful that you're there and that you're our refuge and our strength and our rock. Thank you that we can build our lives upon our relationship with you that never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for being such a wonderful Savior to us. Please help us to get our values and priorities right. Help us to enter into a relationship with you that changes our life. In Jesus, your name I pray. Amen.